Every leader has problems. Increasing your leadership intensity won't fix them in a healthy way. You need an increase of clarity. From starting businesses, leading multiple nonprofit organizations, both large and small, and a full family life, Dr. Chris McAllister learned how to shift his thinking to thrive. He will help you order your internal world so you can lead your external world. Welcome to the Site Shift Lead Podcast with Chris McAllister.
Podcast listeners, hey, you're going to hear two intros in this podcast because I'd already recorded it and now we've launched something. And so I'm interjecting this little quick announcement. And so please track with me on this. The Rider Book, R-I-D-E-R, book.com, theriderbook.com. We've just launched our second book campaign. So we did one about 18 months ago. And I'm talking about stuff that's in the podcast, but I'm reworking it. And I've got a lot of new content that's going to go into this book, Seven Realities to Help You Recognize When You're Stuck and Get Unstuck to Stay Resilient in Your Mission. So go to theriderbook.com, check out the story, and get involved in any way you can. Every bit makes a difference. And it's a way that we can connect there. I would love it so much for you to be a part of that. And it helps me keep doing what I'm doing here. So check it out. Thanks so much. Thanks for listening. Let's dive in. Thanks for being here. Let's jump into talking about what it means to give where it hurts. So one of the things that we're constantly talking about on this podcast is you cannot lead with full engagement as a healthy, empowering leader unless you're leading from a secure identity. Because when you're secure in who you are, it overflows to a clear mission. And I'm working through a progression here. It's part of one of the coaching programs we do. But hopefully you can jump in and these are standalone. After number 12, they'll all be just standalone, I would anticipate. But we're talking about give where it hurts. Now, there's a lot of great info out there to stir us into action with our work, to help us understand motivation, to help us understand the tactics of how to launch out, to launch that product, to do that thing, whatever. But what I don't see a lot of is a conversation around figuring out what are you actually supposed to apply your energy to. And I think we get maybe fatigued, decision fatigue from how empowered we are, or we frantically try a bunch of different stuff. Now, I know some are hemmed in by adverse circumstances of their work and are stuck, but for most of us, we are so empowered. And I think it kind of freaks us out to understand that. And it is a common theme that people get to the end of their lives and they regret not doing something. There was something they wish they would have tried. And what I'm saying to you is when you learn who you are and you figure out your identity, that clarity is going to overflow. You're going to have to try that thing. You can't help but do it. Here I am doing this podcast with you and I can't help but do it. I'm eager to have these conversations with you. And even though I started out and I did terrible at this kind of stuff, it was in college. I got a group of friends together doing a presentation and I asked a buddy of mine after I was done, how did it go? Any feedback you can give me? And he said this, maybe you can make it more interesting. Ugh. So long way to climb up. You can improve your skills. And when you figure out that thing that's an overflow of who you are, it's not going to be like work. It's going to be hard and there are going to be moments that you're going to struggle through, but there's going to be something in you that keeps you going. And we're going to get to that later. But if my kids came to me and said, you know, when they get old enough to work, Daddy, should I get a job at the mall or at the Apple store? Obviously, I want them to get the job at the Apple store, get the discount. No, I'm not going to say that as a dad. I'm going to say, what do you want to do? What's happening on the inside of them and them figuring that out is more important than me imposing my will on them. And what for most of us, the shades have never been pulled back on is that there is something driving us to do the work that we do. And that can be from a false place or a true place. And we've got to figure that out. I don't know how many times I've sat with people and said, oh my gosh, I think I was doing this job just to get my mom off my back, or because I was living for this person, or I wanted to be close to this person, or I wanted to impress this person. And so what we want to do is peel that back and get a lot of clarity on it. We don't want to feel like so many people that get to the end of things and they left something unattempted or unlived. They had a regret for what they didn't do. We want to go after it. We just want to be able to have clarity in what we're going after. So some of you, as a result of what we talk about today, you're going to feel compelled to want to make some kind of change. Some of you aren't, because you don't need to make the change. In fact, before you make one, we need to be able to reframe all of your doing through this identity filter. You may eventually change your job to better align with your identity, but first, it's figuring out that fear and shame create this narrative. So I've got to go out and find this job, and I got to do this work. And so much of that's impacted by just Henry Ford's thinking on how do we set up education to create factory workers and get a 40-hour work week, because that's how much they can work before they get too sloppy. We are operating based on a construct of time. Oh my gosh, I'm late. Why are you late? Because it's this time. Well, who says it's that time? Because some monks invented a clock. This gets trippy, and what I want to do is really open up your thinking. Somebody had told me a story recently about dreaming about ghosts, and they were describing the ghost, and I'm sitting there listening going, why don't they dream of the ghost as some 80s clown dressed in jazzercise clothes, dancing, doing something where there's double Velcro Reebok shoes on them or whatever. The image, my weird mind, the image they have of this ghost is informed by things that have already been written or things that they've seen in some kind of film. You're shaped in some way by this trigger of fear, and we want to learn to build that new baseline of a secure identity. That's why we talked about training the brain and finding that activity where we lose to find. We won't live this perfectly, but we can learn the pathway of how life flows most easily through us. And where does that flow happen? Where do I help people figure out their flow gets blocked and how to unblock the flow in their relationships and work? It's their pain. How paradoxical is that? Where you are afraid is where you will most powerfully give meaning to the world. War of Art, Stephen Pressfield talks about this. You want to figure out what you're supposed to do? Look at what you're afraid of. So what I want you to understand is you're going to do your work and you're volunteering or whatever from an insecure identity or a secure identity. If you do it from an insecure identity, you'll seek to get. If you do it from a secure identity, you'll seek to give. What are you trying to get to give? Because I've referred to the get to give thing, but what are you actually trying to get or give? It's whatever your fear is. So go back to the second episode. If your fear is that you're not worthy unless you perform well, what are you going to try to get from others in your work? Celebration of worth through your performance, right? And you're going to wear people out, and you're going to cover up present concerns to chase the future. If your fear is that you don't have a home, that I don't have a place to belong, then what are you going to try to get from your work? This place that I belong. And the insecurity and neediness through which you move through that space is going to push people away. So what do? You flip it. How do I give worth in my work? How do I give a place of home to others in my work? Nothing will block up your ability to bring clear and healthy direction to your work like when you are doing it from an insecure identity. And it's not just about the 9-to-5, it's about all our doing. So use the trigger you learned from last time on Lose to Find to frame all of your doing as an opportunity to give whatever that fear is that you have, to give it to others. Then this changes how you move in and out of those spaces. Look, my fear being worth, and I want to perform well, and I want to have things together, and I want it to look awesome. The other day, it was more like 4 or 5 months ago, I lose track of time. I have my computer open. I'm emailing a coaching cohort, and I leave it, and I come back to it later, send the email, get responses back the next day. Apparently, when the computer was open, my 9 or 10-year-old daughter, I can't remember her birthday, we're right around that time, had sat down at the computer and typed a funny thing to me because we were playing some Nerf gun wars, and it just said this, "I will kill you tonight." And I get this response back from the people in that cohort going, I think one of your kids typed something in your email. I can tell you, a decade ago, this may sound stupid to you, that would have bothered me. I would have worried about how that made me look, unprofessional. When it happened this time, I high-fived her. I thought it was incredible. I thought it was hilarious. She didn't even know what she was doing. She thought she's typing me something. So not only does it change how you relate to work, it changes how you relate to others. You're going to, again, relate to others from an insecure or secure identity. You will either seek to get or give. If you're relating from insecurity, you'll seek to get your fear met through the relationships. So you're going to try to say, I need you to make me feel worthy. I need you to make me feel safe. I need you to make me feel loved. And so what are you going to do? You're going to suck life from the relationship. So what we want to do is use the trigger we talked about last time when we find that activity or that space to remind us that we don't have to be insecure, that we have abundance. And so as we're reminded that we have abundance, then we frame all of our relationships as an opportunity to give. You give to others what you experience internally. You're a giver, not a taker. It doesn't mean you won't have moments of loneliness and pain where you ask for comfort or presence or help. Asking for what you need is important and healthy. But the foundation of the relationship is built on giving, not getting. Now, in a little bit, a couple episodes from now, I'll talk more about asking for what you need. For now, I just want you to start thinking about building what you do with more intentionality around who you are. Your job may not change. Instead, you're going to do it from a healthy core. So you're not a teacher to impress others with your knowledge. And I lived in the college space for a number of years as a professor. And so often the posture is, I'm going to prove to you how much I know. And that proving drains the energy from the classroom. When the professor shows up to say, I'm not going to prove to you how much I know, I'm not going to hide myself from you, I'm going to bring who I am out of a secure identity and teach you, that sets the class on fire. So again, the way we see our work shifts. So some of you, you know, it's going to take years to get to this. I spent years working in a nonprofit that was close to a point of real clarity for me, but not quite there. And so for me, it's been something that's been unfolding for really about a decade. So if you want to be the kind of leader that energizes, it's going to be leading with vulnerability. Leaders that pretend to have it all together keep their team uptight. And so I want to talk to you about if you're going to give where it hurts, what you're going to do is start giving your leadership through your pain and fear. Now, this is trippy and this scares people and they're like, I don't want to lead like that. But listen, leaders that don't pretend to have it all together and they express vulnerability, they relax their team to perform better. We all know nobody has it all together, so we can stop pretending that. Leaders that aren't vulnerable are insecurely attempting to prove something about themselves or hide who they are. And everybody in the room can smell that. They know it. So insecure leaders drain energy from their team. Vulnerable leaders give energy to their team. Now, how are you vulnerable? Well, it doesn't mean that you have to have a breakdown. It's not about being needy. Leading with vulnerability from a secure identity, it just means you are human with them. This is what's beautiful, it's fun, and it gets results. If you want to be a vulnerable leader, you lead brave from a secure identity. How do you do it without breaking down or being needy? You don't build who you are around your performance. You're just there with them in that moment, and you're casting that vision, or you're sharing that strategy, or you're facilitating that conversation, or you're mining that conflict, or you're checking for alignment, or you're improving communication systems, or you're spurring creative thinking. Whatever you do, you're getting in there with them and doing it. And why don't more leaders get present in those moments? Why is this a skill that we have to learn? Because we're afraid of getting hurt, we've run the other way. Look, you will, as a leader, get hurt. You will experience pain. But when you build who you are around a secure identity, and it's not defined by your mission, what you do, your relationships, your community, the team you're leading, then you're free of what others think of you. And you get to be engaged and vulnerable, sharing even the spots where you know you don't have it all together. So it's like this. Hey, we need to come up with a competitive strategy on this. Da-da-da-da. I feel like I'm strong here, and this makes sense to me. I don't understand this. Can you explain this more? Not pretending like you actually know. Let your team be great where they're great. Hey, before I even dive into developing this plan, you're the one that's great at plans. I want the three of you to get together, and then you run these options by me. The higher you go in your leadership, the more that you're trusting the people around you to do what needs to be done. And only a healthy, secure leader doesn't have to be the smartest person in the room. So let me give you some exercises to drive this in. I want you to find a situation in the past week where you were disappointed with work. What didn't work give you that you wanted? And now we're going to flip it. How can you complete a task today or this week and give to someone what you feel like you missed out on? See, the feeling of missing out, it's only perception. Everything that you want, it's already yours. This is why we have to train the brain. And learning to work from a giving mindset shapes you to lead with engagement. This rewires your brain to lead from abundance. Now, it's normal to get blocked up relationally with any hurt or confusion. The key differentiator is how quickly can you organize and process that confusion. Find someone who you keep having an imaginary conversation with or having conflict. Look, if you're frustrated with somebody, you're not going to lead them well. And so based on the table exercise of last week, this gets kind of weird, but you can track with me. You got this. Invite them to your table. Do this in your mind's eye. So it's not something you actually do, but in your mind's eye, invite them to your table and tell them what you want them to give you. Word it in a way that it's accurate and it's based on your fear. Example, I want you to celebrate me and make me feel worthy. And then apologize to them. You're saying this in your mind's eye. I'm sorry. I made you responsible for me to get worth from you, and I release you from that. Now, any conversation you have in this mind's eye with them post this exchange is just bonus. Maybe you need to define a boundary with them or lay out some parameters of business. Use this tool on repeat as necessary because you're already having that conversation with them in the back of your mind anyway. Let's go ahead and bring it to the surface. And last, as a real way to explore what it means to give where it hurts, I have a guiding vision that I use that I try to take steps forward on it constantly. And one of the things that I've done in getting to this guiding vision of work is just drawn out three overlapping circles. And from working with a lot of people and helping them get clarity on what they do, I offer this to you just as a way to explore this. So circle one, it's called a Venn diagram. Circle one, I want you to think about play. This is your childhood. Circle two, I want you to think about pain. This is the fear and hurt. Circle three, we're going to call this magic or easy. Let me explain. It was stuff that you did as a kid that was play to you. Now, I'm not one of those guys that says you can play your way into wealth. My family will not eat if I just wake up and trail run today. I'm an amateur runner, so I can't just say, hey, I'm going to go do my hobby and you're going to eat. But I'm talking about looking at those things that I did as a kid, and is there any way I can build a bridge to that in my life now, skills I have, and maybe what's happening in my business sphere or my leadership sphere. So I'm looking at my childhood and I'm going, oh my gosh, you know, I started a business in the ninth grade. I actually made these necklaces and I would sit there and think, I got so much in the product, I got this much time to make it, and I'm selling it for this much. So for me to leverage my skills and time and energy into business away from the nonprofit sector, and fully into business, it was a natural progression, if you will. So I'm looking at that childhood circle. I'm also looking at that fear and hurt circle. Because again, I'm going to give most powerfully to the world in my mission through the places that I've been hurt and afraid. So I look at that pain circle and I say, where have I been hurt? Well, one of the things that's hurt me would be organizations that put the corporate vision before the development of the individual. And You know, some people just are not going to fit on the team. All right. They need to be off the team. But I'm talking about when there is a visionary leader driving hard with the vision who cares if people are growing and developing as leaders. We just got to get the bottom line done. And what I'm saying to you is people aren't machines. The way that you get to the bottom line is important. And so we want to focus on getting to the bottom line by growing and developing others. An empowering leader is focused on that. And so for me, though, there's been some pain there. So what do I love? Helping facilitate leaders leading out of security and affecting the whole corporate culture. So some of the work that we do, it's maybe me speaking or some coaching, but most of it is focused around here is what we want to do to affect the whole corporate culture. Here's how we want to make a difference over the entire span of the organization, to relanguage some things, to shift some values, to reinforce the mission of the organization, but do it in a healthy way. And then there's the circle, what we'll call magic or easy. It's the thing that you do that people look at that and go, man, that doesn't come like that for me. And they may not know behind the scenes the hard work that you did to develop and grow that skill, but there's something that you're doing where it's a sense of overflow. So draw these circles out: play, pain, and magic. I don't want to make it sound like it's easy, because again, I'm using that word, but it's a sense of just flow. And draw the overlapping circles and then spend some time thinking about what does this look like for you, all right? And what you'll find over time is all alignment in regards to your mission isn't necessarily a lightning strike, something that just happens real fast. Instead, it's 10,000 steps in a direction that you want to head, and it's unfolding. So the more you put into that, the more time you put into thinking through this, the more you're going to get some clarity on it. All right? Thanks for hanging out. Peace.
This has been The Site Shift, lead podcast with Chris McAllister. Thank you for listening.